Hello.
What's good, man?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Welcome to the Dopeness Podcast. We got a special guest today, all the way from Perth, Australia, down under. My man Steph. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. I'm in the middle of exams right now, but it'll all be over soon, so I'm doing well.
Yeah, I feel you, man. But yeah, so before we came on, I had Kids See Ghosts playing, off the new album. So I mean, I guess we can jump right into it. Like, what you think of that new project?
Man, in general, I think the last three albums that we've seen that Kanye's had his fingerprints all over, you got to take it right from the start. He's been bunkered in this cabin in the middle of the woods in Wyoming. He's just been there with his collaborators, and I think every single one of the albums has been better than the last. I think from Pusha's to his, and I think this one's the best out of the three so far.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely.
And I mean, we've heard from Cuddy for a while that these promises to fans that he was going to come out and get better and that kind of stuff. Obviously he's been battling rehab, depression, kind of suicide, all the real bad stuff. And I reckon this project has been the one that's had him come back reborn, better, stronger, and he's fully delivered on that promise.
Yeah, man, that's so good to see because as probably Kid Cudi's my favorite artist, like so to see him still creating and making music is like, man, like he doesn't put out anything, that I don't love. Like he doesn't put out
Yeah.
any music where you're just like, that was okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. See, I knew you're a real big Cudi fan, but for me, some of his solo stuff was hit and miss. Like, I found he went a little bit too far away from what he started out. I know you have to evolve as an artist, and
Yeah.
I did like some of his solo stuff, but to me, this project, this has like Man on the Moon vibes. And it's just such a high energy, high vibration, uplifting album. Considering some of the topics he's covering are, obviously quite dark at times, but it's just oozes energy. It's like the electronics, the laser cut samples, there's like psychedelic vibes to it as well. I just his hums in the album, especially Cuddy's, I just love it, man.
Oh yeah, it's super dope, man. And then like you said, I actually think my favorite track is the Reborn the track. And then that like coincides exactly what you just said about Cudi, wanting to be reborn and coming back out and just like you said, oozing this energy. So that album and that song in particular, Reborn, like if you just
Yeah.
turn it up, you like, man, if you can't get in the zone listening to that, then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, that is the track. I agree with that. That was the track for me where I was listening to it and I was getting my bearings and that track came on and I was like, this is it. This is the one. It's just you can't we've seen a lot of great duos in hip hop, but this chemistry that they have is just it's insane to me how much they're on the same page. And I actually think Kanye's bars, even in this album, were better than in his album.
Oh
So I
yeah.
think this is Kanye's rapping actually is better in this Cudi project than in Ye.
Definitely. I think it shows how much respect everyone has for Cudi because they know if if you collab with him, you got to bring your A game. And like you said, he even stepped it up from his own solo album to when he's with Cudi. Like he just brought a whole new energy, a whole new vibe. Like he just went in. Like it's crazy.
Well, it's crazy that since 2008, when Cudi really came on the scene, Kanye hasn't released a project that hasn't had a Cudi influence on it, whether it's production, a feature verse. So he obviously, like, people always want to talk about Kanye's prodigies, whether it's Pusha, there's a bunch of them. But I think Cudi is that guy. He's, in terms of pushing the boundaries of hip hop, in terms of addressing topics that people aren't really comfortable addressing. I think Cudi is that guy.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like for me, if there was one person, you know how like I'm not really the type of person who if I saw a celebrity, I'd be like, "Oh man, like look, if there was one person that I saw in the streets and would be like, having a fan moment, it would be Kid Cudi because like yo, he's just the GOAT to me. If I could have a conversation with that man, that would be insane.
And I feel like Cuddy'd be so much more approachable than Kanye, you know? I feel like if I saw Kanye, I'd be like, damn, that's Kanye West. But at the same time, I'd be like, he might be wilding right now. I don't know if I'm not going to go speak to him. You know, I'd probably keep my distance. But Cuddy, I'd be like, what's going on, man?
Right. Man, yeah, he's a beast. But yeah, so like we just spoke about on the album, you said like the psychedelic feel, the whole vibes. We could tie that into the meditation, because I think Kanye and Kid Cudi both touched on it on the album, how they like, you know, either Kanye saying ultralight beaming, he's on another level, or they even have the song Fourth Dimension on there where they're, you know, really talking about some next level type stuff that probably goes over a lot of people's head. But
Man.
Let's get into like what you think about that.
Well, I think firstly, I think people have a tendency when they listen to music, especially by guys like Kanye and guys like Cudi, you want to go back even like the 70s with the Beatles and stuff, people have this this real quick tendency to presume artists are talking about drugs and that their music must be experimenting with drugs and psychedelics and that kind of thing. I know Cudi has been open about that kind of thing, but I think a lot of the stuff that they're touching on in this latest project, they actually are touching on mindfulness and meditation and just the power of the mind. That's what they're talking about. I mean, Kanye's just come out. He was open about it, that he was institutionalized for a little bit. He was dealing with bipolar and different medications and that kind of thing. And I think with the message we're getting both from Cudi and from Kanye is that, the, you know, getting your insides right and meditation and mindfulness, that's the answer to working through these kind of issues. You know, life's going to be up and down, and I'm sure their up and downs are perhaps more extreme than anything we would experience. But that kind of level-headedness that they're talking about, and the creativity that also comes from that, I think, you know, it's really inspirational to have a musician talking about that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And like you said, even it may seem, you know, that they're talking about ups and downs on a higher level than what we're experiencing, which may be true more so on the monetary level. But on the spiritual level, you know, I believe that the whole universe is connected, the same energy. So even though
they're it's the same.
You know what I mean? Like, they're superstars, Kanye and Cudi. But at the end of the day, if they sat down and meditated and I sat down and meditated, we can both tap into the same universal energy. And I
we're all tapped into the same quantum world.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's another aspect that people need to listen, focus on when they're listening to the music, instead of just, you know, listening to the great production from Kanye. And then, you know, maybe they might catch a lyric that, you know. But yeah, so what's your experience with go ahead.
I was just going to say, man, I think what you said is spot on, because that's the whole the grounding nature of meditation, is that when you meditate and you're in that meditative state, you don't need any external evidence that everything's connected. It's just so obvious. It's right there in front of your face. It's right at the front vortex of your brain. You can just feel it. So I think that's what you said is dead on, man.
Oh yeah, definitely. You feel it, like, and it's just an unbelievable feeling. So what is your experience with meditation? Because I know we touched on it, you know, when we talk to each other, the messenger or Instagram or whatever. So what is your...
Well, I know, man, like when you were here playing, when we first met, I know I spoke a little bit with you about meditation and yoga and that sort of thing, but I don't know if it was just the age I was at and, you know, what was going on in my life at the time, but I don't think I was really ready to dive in to that kind of commitment. I liked the idea of it, of sitting down and meditating and being mindful. And I remember reading certain things about it, but it really changed for me when last year we had a guy come over. He played at VCU, and so he played under Shaka Smart, and he was just like on and on about it to me, about meditating and mindfulness. And he had this mantra that he used to say every day, which was, "Another day I'm thankful." So he'd wake up, he'd say that, you know, it was on his social media. He'd say it when he came to practice. He was just one of the most energetic, uplifting dudes I'd met. And it just made me think, like, what's going on with this guy that is not going on with everyone else? What am I missing? And he was real big on me just, you know, sitting down every day and making a habit out of it. and, you know, meditating and trying to be more mindful. He was from a psychology background as well, so he talked to me about lower self and higher self, and, you know, what constitutes your lower self and how to always focus and live in your higher self. And for me, that was kind of the kickstart that I needed to be on the journey that I'm on now.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. I think that's big, you know, because you know, we always speak on energy, and I think it's better to go into specifics because a lot of people are out there that are interested in it, but sometimes they need to just hear or get that kick in the butt on exactly what to do. And I think like what you just said about the higher self and lower self, that basically starts with the company you keep. So like, for example, if he is always in your ear about something, you know, you're naturally going to, you know, increase your frequency and raise your vibration levels because you have someone constantly saying like, man, like I'm thankful. Like, how can we not be thankful? You know, so if you have that in your ear versus someone who's, you know, hanging out with the wrong crowd and they're just always thinking of, you know, the next party to go to, the next, you know, just females, just things that feed the ego. And I think when you feed the ego, that is related to your lower self, and that's what
Yeah.
we need to get away from. So yeah, definitely. Once you can figure out the lower self and higher self, that's definitely the first step.
Yeah, and I mean, I 100% agree with you because when he left, I felt the void, you know, like I felt the kind of energy being sapped, and it was you know, a big responsibility I felt like for me to get those energy levels back up because I was almost becoming reliant on his energy, but I needed that initial energy to get it kick started. But I 100% agree with you, man. It's the people you choose to hang out with. I think when you meet someone who is on that higher self and, you know, is on that mantra and is puts a high price on mindfulness, then, you know, it's contagious. That energy is contagious, and it makes you want to get better. It makes you want to get your insides right. And I think, you know, that's the most important thing is it's a community thing. It's a connected thing.
Yeah, definitely. So once really dived into it and committed to yourself, because like you said, that's very key. Like it has to be on your time, you know. It's all about the timing and getting your mind right. Like, so even someone who really wants to do it, if, you know, for whatever reason they're really stressed right now with school, maybe it's best to wait until the semester's over or something like that so they can really clear their head. So for you, what was your first real experience of trying to commit to it on, you know, by yourself?
Well, I think I just kind of saw it from the perspective of not being happy in a lot of the ways I was spending my time. I mean, I'm in my last semester of law school, so obviously I spend quite a bit of time studying. But it was just, you know, things like playing video games and, you know, just pointless relationships, maintaining pointless relationships in my life that weren't really doing anything for me and weren't really positive for me. It made me realize that, you know, I have all this time in the day. It's just really not that big of a sacrifice to take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is you have that day, to sit down and just practice meditation, because it has such a big impact on your day. I like to do it personally in the morning. I know some people like doing it at night. Some people like doing it more than once a day, but I like doing it in the morning because I actually feel like quite an energy lift off it. It's like the morning coffee. Like I meditate in the morning and I feel like I just have energy going into the day. It gets me right. It gets me focused. Whilst I find like some of the people I've spoken to about it, they say, oh, you know, when I meditate, I get really sleepy and I, you know, I can't do it in my room or I can't do it on my bed. Or obviously you have to find what's right for you. But I find what's big for me is just sit down for 5 minutes. Just focus on my breaths, you know, count to 10 and then start the process again. Don't focus too much on clearing my mind or stopping my thoughts, just kind of letting the thoughts resolve themselves on their own momentum. And I, you know, I try and be conscious of the energy around me, notice the light, the sounds in the room, and I just make that a habit every day. And I think that's been the key to me really unlocking the power of it for me, where I feel like I was just a robot before going through the motions every day and not really being able to process anything that was going on. Whilst now I find, you know, every decision I make just feels more thought out. I feel like I'm just more aware.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. It's crazy. And like you said, it's different for everyone, you know. So for you, the morning, some people at night, some people, like you said, throughout the day. So I think it's just, you know, there's no right way, no right or wrong way to meditate. It's just however you feel in that moment. So once you get that
How do you like
routine,
usually?
so the way I do it is, so I have multiple journals, and
So you'll level up for me. You'll well level up.
like I have been, for me, I think it started in undergrad college, and this is back in 2008 is when I first came across, you know, this. And I would spend all my time, like, you know, of course, I still study, got my degree, but 90% of my time I was on YouTube just going down the rabbit hole of different ways. So for fast forward now, I'm at the point now where I so for my birthday every year I update my vision board, and I basically look out to the next year what I want to accomplish, and I put that vision board, you know, somewhere where I can see it every day. So right now I have a big blue poster, you know, that I'm looking at right now. And I read that the average, for example, the average millionaire has seven streams of income. So my vision board, you know, I have 14. So I'm like, if the average is seven, how can I fail with 14, you know? And so I have this vision board sitting in front of me every day while I'm on my laptop, you know, doing some work. And it subconsciously programs in my mind, you know, what I want, how I'm going to achieve it. And so when I meditate, I'm going in with specifics. At first, you know, I used to just meditate, you know, just like you said, to just be in the moment.
Yeah.
I do that now, not every day, but when I meditate now, it's more specific things that I want to, you know,
Yeah.
accomplish. So if I want to.
You're probably in that state where you're always at that level of mindfulness now that you can actually focus on specific things and have the mindfulness help you get there, which I think is, you know, obviously that's goals for me. That's incredible.
Yeah, exactly. So when I'm in that state, which, you know, like you said, I'm in that state every day. So for me, when I get, if I'm not progressing towards something on a daily basis, I kind of feel very sluggish, you know. So, like today, for example, we're doing this podcast and this is great. You know, we're speaking about ideas that a lot of people need to, you know, really need to listen to. So even after this, you know, me and my girl will walk out, you know, take a walk and, you know, take some pictures. So I think you always should find what you're interested in and progress to it on a daily basis, if not on a minute by minute basis. You know, like if you really want to be logged in and focused, every minute that you're awake, you should be achieving something towards one of your goals, you know. So like even when you're eating, if you're eating healthy, you're achieving a goal of not polluting your body, which helps, you know, your mindfulness, because, you know, like maybe that's a whole nother topic, but if your
I
body.
agree with you, man. They're connected for sure. I found that I used it as a cop out for so many years, especially being at law school, being so busy and being so stressed. And now that I've started meditating, I've found it's gone hand in hand with a commitment at the gym, you know, to improving my body, lifting weights, cardio, that kind of thing. I'm trying to get into more like core strength orientated things now, but it also links into diet, eating healthier, because that makes you feel better. And then, of course, that's obviously linked in with your mindfulness and how you feel on the inside. You know, it's all connected.
Oh yeah, definitely. And then also, like you were touching on, I think when you like now that you're aware and you want to get, you know, dive deeper into it, I think you should really get a couple, we'll start with one journal and be able to write what you want. I learned this from Napoleon Hill's Laws of Success. You need to write.
I've got that YouTube video up right now. I'm waiting to watch it after my last exam on Saturday.
Bro, that's going to really up the game for you, because he's going to touch on the fact that you need a journal and you need to be able to write in a simple sentence what it is you want. You know, like what is your dream or what will you consider success that you'll be happy to do every day? But most importantly, on the next line, you need to write what you're willing to give to the universe in order to receive that, you know? So
wow.
For me, you know, I'm sure it's pretty personal to say this, but the second line that I put, what I'm going to give to the universe is just the energy, you know, just helping and just always trying to uplift people and make sure their energy levels are right. So my motto is live life, give twice. So that was my number two that I wrote in my journal. So to really embody that, I just created t-shirts and I wear it every day. So, you know, I'm physically wearing, you know, something that I subconsciously thought about before. So now you can only imagine like the level that it's on, because not only did I write in the journal what I'm willing to give the universe, but now I'm wearing it. So when people physically see it, that just means it's going to the universe that much, you know, that much more, because it's being compounded by so many different minds. And like I said, the universal energy we're all connected to. So if you put what you want to achieve in the minds of as many people as possible, it's only going to come back to you that much faster. So I think that's going to be the next big step for you.
For sure. I agree. I agree, man. And I think, you know, getting a journal is obviously a big step. And like you just talking about that right now inspires me, just the way that you can dictate it like that in one or two sentences and just explain it that simply, that clearly, you know, that's where I need to be, because I can't do that right now. Honestly, I couldn't do that right now. And I'm Rob is the name of the guy who I was mentioning earlier, got me into meditation. And he was really big on journaling as well. And he had a group chat at one stage on one of the messaging apps where we'd remind each other every day to journal and to meditate and that kind of thing. And I think that was really helpful as well, because we could almost use that app as a journal at times too, just to get internal thoughts out and that kind of thing. But I 100% agree with you that, you know, that's going to be the next step forward for me, is obviously goal direction, journaling every day, and working towards a final goal that I think will make me happy. Because it's a weird feeling, man. I'm in this really weird space right now where I'm about to graduate, and you know, there's so many different options for what comes next, and I obviously need to sit down and have some real conscious thought about what that move's going to be.
Yeah, and that's perfect. That's why I think literally on your last day of the exam, like, I think this is what will separate you from the average person or every other person you graduate with. Let's you finish your exam Saturday, right? And what's the natural thing? The natural thing to do is to go out and drink with your friends, which you should still do. Like, I'm not taking away that moment, but I'm saying the next day when you wake up, you should be fully engulfed in waking up, like, watching the Napoleon Hill.
It's gonna be the first thing I do. Yeah, Sunday morning is gonna be the first thing I do. I'm gonna wake up. I'm gonna lift and do some cardio, and then I'm gonna watch it. And I'm gonna take from that what I can, man. I'll probably message you to get some clarity on some certain things. But I think, yeah, that's gonna be the first day for me where I can really dig in and start making some changes.
Definitely. And I would also suggest, you know, shout out your man. What's his last name is Brandenburg, right? Rob
Brandenburg. Yeah, Rob Brandenburg.
Yeah, so shout out
to
that.
He's changing lives right now too, back in the States, coaching children and all that kind of thing. So he's doing his thing as well.
Definitely. So shout out to that brother for getting you and really involved in it. So I would say you should try to stay connected with him as well, you know, as much as possible, because like you said, he was that first jump start or the spark, you know.
So yeah, bro. We're messaging each other at the wildest times. Like, I swear, sometimes I get messages from him at 2 o'clock in the morning. I message him at 2 o'clock in the morning. Something pops in my head, and I'm just like, no one else would get this. Like, that's my guy, that he's going to get it, and he's going to be able to build on it and reciprocate. And I think the thing I wanted to mention, which I think is real dope, is obviously you were talking about his influence on me. The coolest thing is I've recently had a person that I've influenced, and they're into meditation now. They had some various mental health issues and stuff over the period of time, and they've actually, you know, conveyed to me how much of a help I was in them practicing meditation every day and the positive influence it's had on their life. So this whole thing is connected. It's just, you know, Shaka Smart influenced Rob, Rob influenced me, I'm going to influence someone else, and it just keeps going like that.
Definitely is. It's all connected. And I think another thing people fail to realize is if you really want to learn something and become a master at something, the best way to do that is to teach it. So whether or not you're, you know, fully experienced in it, if you're teaching it, what does that mean? That means, you know, you're putting yourself on a pedestal that you can be judged on what you're teaching. So that means you're going to make sure you're on point. You know what I'm saying? So if you're if you've already inspired someone to meditate, that means, you know, you have to go deeper before they come back to you, you know, asking for insight on the next step. So I think that's another key point. So you should definitely keep doing what you're doing. And as far as the next step that I think you should take as well is, like, let's say me and you have a connection, you know, you and Rob have a deeper connection. I think you should find similarities or common interests with the people that you can connect to on a higher level. And that's where you should try to build your own business, because I think the deeper you go into mindfulness, the further you'll go away from wanting to have or to live the average life of, you know, having a job and not really being in control of, you know, everything. So I think the key is putting those right people around you and then just, like, asking them what they're interested in and then matching what you're interested in. And, like, man, maybe we should start this because we can connect on such a high level that we know we'll succeed. You know what I'm saying? So I think
that the energy between you will be so high that no matter what you choose, and if it's, you know, it's the right decision because you've both meditated on and connected on it, that the energy is going to be limitless.
Exactly. And this, and you know that you'll trust in that person, that they don't just talk for the sake of talking.
And I think, and the first podcast you had on with your guy, I was listening to, because obviously I had a lot of friends that have already graduated and have gone into the, you know, the kind of the corporate law world, working for big firms and that kind of thing. And, you know, it really makes you sit there and ask, how many of these people are really happy? You know, I'm not obviously condemning anyone for making that choice. If you make that choice and it's your passion and, you know, you climb up the ranks and you do what you want to do, then I think that's great. But it made me think about, you know, the difficulty in maintaining a happy lifestyle and, you know, being a mindful person. If you're working those kind of hours for little reward and, you know, helping build someone else's empire, it really made me kind of sit and think about, you know, what I value and how I want to move forward from here.
Exactly, man, because what you'll find, or what I found, at least from my experience, is, like, you know, being a business owner, when you know, your friends that you've always had and you still, you know, I still always have them, but when they're in a cycle of, you know, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, come home and have a kid or whatever the case may be, the time for them to have just normal, you know, just creative conversations and interactions is just limited. So I think you find yourself growing away from those people, and it's not like, it's nothing against them. Like, of course you still love them as friends, but what you find is that you interact with people who are more on your wavelength, you know, where you can just talk to them at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 2 a.m. in the morning, and it, you know, they can message you back with some insightfulness on what you sent them. So I think definitely building a circle of friends who, you know, have the same mindset as you is very, very key. Like, people don't really understand how important that is, because if you had 10 friends and you're the only one who doesn't want to do a 9 to 5, think about how that subconsciously is going to be programmed to you. And they're always wanting to do happy hour at a certain time. And you're like, man, like, I guess I might as well do what you're doing, so we can always hang out at that time. And I think that just, it's hard because you have to challenge yourself to go against people and things that you always believed in, you know what I mean? So it's not easy at all.
It's trying to rewire your brain from what you've been told. Presumably, I mean, unless you have real progressive parents who, think
Right.
differently. But it's like trying to rewire your brain from the things that you thought all your life, from all the external factors, not just your parents. My parents have always just been like, the focus has been on, whatever makes you happy. That's been the focus from day one. It's not about anything else. And I appreciate that. But what I'm trying to say is it's the whole social conditioning of this is the right choice to make in every, I got to do this in school, then I'm going to do this at college, and then I got to do this at work. And then, I got to get this car, this house, this girl, these children, they're going to be enrolled in these things. And it's just, I 100% agree with you. It's a conscious decision to make to be like, no, I'm going to go against the grain and I'm going to chase this passion and I'm going to see what happens.
Yeah, man, like it's hard, but every, if it wasn't worth it, it wouldn't be hard. That's how I always look at it.
That's how I look at meditation as well.
Definitely. And also, I think a key thing you have in your corner is, bro, like Perth, Australia, honestly might be paradise. Like it's so, like for me personally, it was so easy to just, project what I wanted, and like it would come back like 10 times as fast as it was when I was in other places. And it was just crazy, like, because you can just go to Coogee Beach or South Beach and you just sit there, and just it's pretty crazy. Like, I just felt like it was so much easier to tap into it than anywhere I've lived before, because there, you have people who think outside the box a lot more, like in Fremantle, and you
Yeah, for
have
sure. I got a
the
lot of
organic,
friends and definitely about that life.
and you have the organic shops, and the health conscious people around you. It's like, yeah. So I think you should definitely take advantage of that, because you're in a very good location.
When I graduate, you're gonna find me on the beach meditating. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, for sure, for sure. But yeah, I see you do this season too. For you?
Oh yeah, honestly, since Mike and I came on, we've gotten better every single year. I think we won 6 games first season, second season. Now there's 8 games to go. Eight.
Oh,
In the
so you.
ninth spot, we're pushing for the 8th seed. That's the goal. Everybody's on board with that. It feels really good to be the underdog, and I mean we've slayed 4 out of the top 5 teams. So nobody wants to play us right now.
Dang, yeah, y'all gotta sneak into the finals, man, because at that point, anything can happen.
Oh yeah, for sure. Especially if we get like 7th or 8th, especially in the way it works here, anything can happen. It's like March Madness.
Yeah, and then shout out to homie CB. Congratulations on him and Schalke for being promoted to that Pro A. I know he's been pushing for that, so man, that's big
Yeah, man.
time.
CB is a very high energy guy too.
Oh yeah,
It seems
definitely.
to be the common denominator about these guys that come here and are real good ball players that usually they're real good ball players for reasons external to basketball. They got good mindsets. They have good attitudes towards their work ethic and their leaders, and they lead in the locker room, bring the energy.
Yeah, definitely. So I know you said you have to wait till Saturday, and then Napoleon Hill thing, is going to clarify some things. But off the top, on the spot right now, if you had to choose your dream profession, what would it be?
My dream profession? Man, it would probably be somebody in a position helping lives through the justice system, whether it's in legal aid, whether it's in criminal law. It'd be someone high up in a position that can influence policymakers and lawmakers and be able to stand up for people and look out for people that don't get looked out for usually. I feel like that's the big discrepancy in our society right now is people, low socioeconomic areas being unfairly treated by the justice system. So I think that's probably would be my goal, some sort of legal aid.
Yeah, I think, and that would be huge, because one thing that I know I read about it a few years ago, but it's something that I read about every now and then still, is the fact that the prison systems are privately owned, and that's just like crazy to me because what that means is
It's a business.
it's a business. And for them to make money, what does that mean? They have to put more people in jail. So if that's privately owned, then obviously they have the influence to reach out to the people, you know, to make those type of decisions happen. So if that's changing laws to give certain, you know,
Well, I mean, you got to look at fundamental examples. Like in the US, the
right.
power is for so long keeping marijuana illegal. That was a huge thing, was that was an on the spot, charged in court jail time. That's jail time straight away in certain states, still is. And that was that took hundreds of years to get unwritten when the whole story of that started with, such corrupt and unjust interests.
Yeah, definitely, because I'm glad you touched on that, because I think Canada actually yesterday or 2 days ago, they're like the first big country who's about to legalize a recreational countrywide. And so for me, from the research I've done, you know, cannabis and marijuana has been such a big part of human society, you know, civilizations for thousands of years, and only in the last 80 to 100 has this been,
Criminalized.
criminal. Exactly. So, what do you think about the people in jail right now serving time on marijuana or cannabis charges when now it's being legalized everywhere? Do you think they should just like automatically be released, or like
Yeah,
something has to happen?
it's a global force that's happening right now. Canada 2 days ago, their Senate voted to legalize recreational. It's happening in the States. It's happening a little bit slow because of how your guys' legal system works, that a lot of the times legislating on these type of things is being left to the states. But Trump came out 2 days ago and said he would support federal legalization of marijuana.
Oh,
So
wow.
obviously, if that happened for you guys at a federal level, the people that have been arrested on these real petty charges, for having a dime bag, for example, like they'd be walking out tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So they will walk out the day that he or the government makes it legal
Mean, they're,
at a federal
they're,
level.
I'm not sure exactly how it works, but there would have to be such, there's because of the high level of people currently serving, there would have to be some kind of exoneration looked at, because it'd be such an injustice, obviously, to say, hey, you guys can all go to the shop now and buy it, but these people are still in prison for it. So I think there'd be something there that happened. The law doesn't usually operate retrospectively, but there are exceptions at times.
Wow, yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about progressive Perthers and stuff and areas like Fremantle and that earlier, but I mean, here it's still you guys. I was recently in California last November. And I couldn't believe people's attitudes towards it compared to here. To here, it's still like, if you do that, you're a loser and a deadbeat, and you've got no goals in life, and you're not going to go anywhere. It's still just got that kind of reputation amongst people like 30 and up.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, California, you know how progressive they've been from years back.
Yeah, for sure, man. That was obviously them in Colorado. They were trailblazers, no pun intended, in terms of getting that through and pushing for that.
It's pretty crazy. 'Cause I mean, for me, I look at things like from a perspective of just using common sense. That's how I like to make decisions. So for me, something that's natural that grows and is a plant, how can a, you know, an organization or a human being deem that to be illegal when it, you know, it was here on Earth before you were born, you know? So, I mean,
And
yeah,
there's
of
not
course
really
it's
anything
illegal.
else that has that kind of legal status either. I mean, obviously some of the psychedelics, but and that's another whole argument. Like there was a real interesting podcast about 6 months ago on Joe Rogan's one, where he had a guy on there who was like a shroom expert, talking about how there's pretty much not a waking moment where our human bodies aren't connected in some way to fungi and to mushrooms. And obviously, it's in the ground everywhere. It makes up all the matter. It forms the trees. And he's making crazy arguments about us actually like evolving from bacteria and fungi from mushrooms. So, and then
Wow.
to have that also operate in the same kind of legal sphere as marijuana, they both grow in the earth, and both of them, you know, will get you jail time. Is just crazy. I agree with you from a common sense perspective, and I think every human in society wants to live under a legal system which operates based on common sense.
Of course. And yeah, just as a disclaimer, we are not in any way saying that you should go out and do marijuana or shrooms. We're just touching on the scientific basis of it.
And the legality of the issues.
Exactly. Oh, another thing, I don't know if you've read about this, as far as a form of meditation, it's called earthing. Have you heard of that?
Earthing. I have heard of earthing, but I know very little about it. So
So essentially, it touches on how the guy you just said talked about, you know, the nature and the matter being all around us. So
the natural.
earthing means, or it's a way of meditating by walking barefoot and allowing the energy and electricity and everything from nature to come into your body through your bare feet. So I do have experience, not much experience, but I think I actually started in Perth. Like that was the first time where I was like able to walk barefoot in like because where I'm from, like, you know, PG County, right outside of DC, nobody is walking barefoot. Like you wouldn't even think about that. You know what I'm saying? So like
Yeah.
the fact that, you know, once
In
I got to
Perth, half the
Perth.
people are already default in flip-flops or bare feet.
Exactly. Yeah, but like I think it's something you should definitely try because I found that when I actually do it, you know, whether it be grass or sand, you can feel the energy, you know, because it just
Yeah.
flows right through you. And like we said, we know that the earth has energy flowing through it, electromagnetics or
Yep.
it's in every way. So yeah, earthing is pretty cool.
Everything's currently like simultaneously growing at the same time. And yeah, I think that actually be that's why I'm really keen to go down to the beach and do it and just like immerse yourself in the sand, feel the energy, feel the sun, feel the vitamins coming into your body and just yeah, really get in that state.
Definitely. And I think another thing I wanted to touch on was that what you said about Rob having the mantra is very, very, very key because
Oh, it's huge.
I think a Japanese scientist, I don't know his exact name, but he did an experiment where he took water, you know, he took a glass of water and labeled it with the word love on it. And he had children or whoever, you know, whenever they walked past it to say love. And then he put another jar and he put hate or, you know, a negative word. And he told the children to say hate when they walked past it. And he froze both jars of water. And what he found was that the crystal forms that they formed, the one that said love and that had people, you know, saying the word love to it, it formed like the most perfect, beautiful geometric shapes. Whereas the jar that he froze that had the negative, the hate word on it, you know, it was unsymmetrical and just ugly. So what he basically was saying is that, you know, our bodies are made up of 70% water. So the experiment clearly showed that the words that you say affect, you know, the form, you know, inside of you. So I think it's very key because if you're saying positive things to your body, then you know, 70% water, you can just add it up, you know, what the outcome's going to be. Whereas if you're like, man, I can't do this, I can't do that, my life sucks, everything, you know, I got these bills coming, they're piling up, then, you know, that just, it puts you in the lower self that we spoke on earlier.
It
And yeah,
does,
so
and
that's
it's easy
very
to
key.
operate in that lower self and just always be accepting of those things.
Oh yeah, it's very easy.
And yeah, that Japanese author is Masaru Emoto, because I've read the book. It's called
Nice.
The Message from Water.
Exactly. Yeah, it's amazing.
Remember, there's a key phrase in there about it these mantras and the labeling being the blueprint for our reality. That's what I remember what he said.
Definitely. It's just so crazy. Like when you read that stuff, for me personally, when I read things like that, I'm thinking like, why didn't we learn this in school growing up? You know,
in this mainstream.
Right. And then, you know, the more you dig, then you obviously know why, but you have to just keep searching, you know, just keep searching for truth, living out your truth and progressing every day.
And I mean, I think that's what we touched on earlier. That's the duty to, obviously I don't want to go around waving it in everybody's face and, you know, saying you should improve your life like this. But if it comes up and, you know, someone's clearly seeking something and I think I can help with it, you know, I feel like that's an obligation to perhaps get that cycle going for them, whether even if it's a 5-minute conversation about meditation.
Definitely, man. Those have been the best conversations I've ever had in my life, because you just feel like it builds up, because the natural or the average person, you don't talk to it about. And so you just have, you know, your thoughts and all that building up. And as soon as you can confide that into another person, you're like talking for hours. Man, like you get it. You understand what I'm saying, you know? So
yeah,
that's why
Rob and I, man, once we opened Pandora's box, it was like, we've been talking for 7 hours.
Yeah, exactly, man. And it's crazy because it doesn't end, because then you can touch on the fact that, you know, like, are you familiar with lucid dreaming and astral projection?
I know a little bit about lucid dreaming, but I've never got into it to the stage where I've tried to practice it or anything like that.
Yeah, so it goes so deep that you can train in your sleep, you know what I'm saying? So like, yeah. Let's say you have a, you know, like I'm a basketball player. You know, let's say I'm physically training in the day. When I go to sleep, if I get in the right meditative state, I'm able to, if you have a lucid dream and be able to control it, you can actually train in your sleep. So I can get shots up during my lucid dreams and it will be connected to my brain, so that when I woke up, I would literally have improved during my sleep.
That's crazy, so, man. I've actually, I've heard Kai Green. I don't know if you know who Kai Green is. Talk about that.
Nah, who is that?
He's he came second at two Mr. Olympias in 2012 and 2013, I think it was.
Okay.
He's American bodybuilder, and he talks about the muscle mind connection, and he talks about lucid dreaming when he goes to bed, of training certain muscles, or if he didn't think that he did a certain exercise properly, he retrains it asleep and then wakes up having manifested growing that muscle and gotten better.
Man, it's real. It definitely is real. Like, I haven't mastered that yet, but I do have an experience where I did it and it worked like to perfection. And this was back in 2014. So the scenario was that, you know, this was my first professional season. We had our only game of the season that's going to be broadcasted on Eurosport. And my teammate, Isaiah Tate, who we grew up with, you know, we played when we were 8, 9, 10, 11 years old.
Yeah.
And long story short, I was able to get him over on my team. And me and him were connected in the same way. So we would have these conversations on a daily basis, you know. So what happened was, we were like, bro, like, this game, very important. Like, we basically got to go crazy because, you know, this is the best film that we can use in order to progress our career. So I just remember that night before, like, I wrote in my journal, like, you know, almost the stat, you know, I wrote the stats that I wanted to have. Like, I wrote, like, you know, 40 points, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, the game comes up and, you know, I finished with 39 points. He finished with 35 points.
Wow.
Bro, we were like, wow. Like, so after
the
that
game, you guys were like, okay, this is real.
Man, like, that's literally what happened. Like, we were like, bro, like, this is super real. And that was, yeah, so like I said, that was 2014. So once I saw that I could physically manifest that, I've been logged in ever since. So, you know, I've been doing that on a daily basis for over 4 years now, and it's just like, man, like, can you imagine if your whole team was doing that? Like, if you have team meditation, you guys are all focused on the same goal. Like, guys, we're going to win the game tomorrow, 112-104, and you have 12
people putting that energy out there.
Right. And think about it, like, on the level skill that they're playing with, if they match that on the mental scale, it's just like, how could they lose? You know what I'm saying? So I think
there's a lot of stories. Phil Jackson's Laker team, the early 2000s one, having team meditation. Obviously, he was a real spiritual person. He'd always get in them about he'd give him certain books to read and stuff to bring out certain energies. And he was real big on team meditation with a common goal in mind.
Definitely, like, it makes perfect sense. And I just...
Especially in a team sport.
Yeah, because, yeah, the more energy you have, because, like, me and Isaiah, we used to talk about it, and we, like, maybe that's how NBA, like, let's say Steph Curry, you know, in that point, like, 2 years ago when everybody was, like, finally kind of admitted that he was the best shooter of all time, and everything he would throw would go in. And we were like, maybe it's because when he's in the arena and everyone in the arena, including himself, believes that every three-point shot he's going to take, I think it increases his three-point percentage just on that fact alone. And we were, you know, trying to touch and trying to figure that out. And I think it's real, you know. So, like,
I think real for sure, man. You think about the guys that you have on the scout that are, you know, this guy might be a good three-point shooter, or this guy might be good at driving and finishing. But if you have on the scout, this guy is the guy who will take the shots down the stretch. He's the finisher for this team. He's the guy that wants the ball in, you know, clutch situations at the end of the game. And there's no coincidence when it comes around to those moments, you know, Kobe, whoever it is, even at a local level, they're the guys that have the ball, and they're the guys that are, like, they're in their head, they're winning this game, and the ball's going in.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. Yeah, I think if I ever got into coaching, that would be one of the things I focused more, you know, because I don't think many coaches, besides Phil Jackson, that I've heard even really touch on that.
Yeah, Phil Jackson was big on it. One of my big things that I took from Phil is because obviously I head coached the D-League team, like our development league team, is I'm big on, like, trying to get our team to develop resilience and work through patches. So you'll see a lot of coaches react. The other team hits two, you know, back-to-back three-pointers, maybe gets an and-one. All of a sudden they're on a nine-point run, and bam, the coach will call a timeout. I'm big on, obviously, if it's a crucial part of the game, it might be a little bit different. But early on in a game, first quarter, second quarter, that kind of thing, I want the five out there. I'm not going to make a rotation. I'm not going to call a timeout. They have to come together and work that out and be able to deal with that and have the resilience to overcome that, because there's going to be a moment later in the season that's way more important than this run. So they have to work it out there. Those five together, they have to work it out.
Exactly. That makes perfect sense because, once you – if you were to sub them out, like, that just negatively affects them anyway, because, like, especially, like, you know, when somebody gets crossed up or, you know, fouls a three-point shooter and the coach subs them right out, like, that compounds the situation.
I can't stand that. That's the worst thing. And it happens. You see it every game.
Yeah, because think about it. The player isn't, you know, unaware that what he just did was wrong. So he's already mad at himself for making the foul. Once you sub him out, the whole crowd is looking at him like, like, go sit down. So at that point,
he brings that energy to the bench.
Exactly. And then once you try to put him back in, for the most part, unless it's an elite level player, you know, who's really mindful and mentally strong, when they come back in, they're going to be hesitant. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's, the mental aspect in every situation. Like, of course, we're talking about sports because we're involved with basketball, but in every situation, business, investments, whatever it is, it's very important.
I agree, man. Basketball, it's a great life skill teacher. You know, you can use it for examples for anything, and I like to do it, especially with other people that are obviously into basketball, play basketball, coach basketball. But the lessons you extract from that as a team sport, they ring true in any situation in life.
Definitely, man. But yeah, I think I don't want to touch on too much more, so because we're gonna have you back on the show, of course.
For sure. I'm gonna be back.
It was great talking to you. I think we touched on a lot of points. So yeah, guys, if you enjoyed listening to the Dopeness podcast, be sure to check us out in the next episode. And shout out to Steph, bringing this positive energy from down in Perth, Australia. It was great having you on. And
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. It was great to talk.
for sure, man. Have a good day. And yeah, we'll talk, of course.
Sounds good, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, we're out, man.
See you, man.